We're trying to figure out why people feel guilty about so many things these days, and there's actually evidence that it's on the rise. Researchers at the University of Bath in England recently found that among young people, pressure to be flawless is skyrocketing. One of the study's co-authors, psychologist Tom Curran, calls it a hidden epidemic of perfectionism, and he says what's remarkable is that it really does seem to be generational.
I do think young people have entered a new world that has very unique social, economic, and political parameters that other generations didn't necessarily have to deal with. There's no doubt that expectations upon young people have increased, and there's a number of reasons for that. There's a lot of expectation now for students to do well in standardized testing, which is very, very important. This is how we set students and classify them and rank them. But the other one is social media, online platforms that emphasize perfection as an ideal that everybody should strive for. You know, things like Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, they're replete with images of the perfect life and lifestyle. And this is really reinforcing this idea that we need to be perfect, that we need to appear perfect. And that if we don't appear perfect, then somehow there's something deficient about us. And we think one of the ways that they're coping in this new world is to develop perfectionistic tendencies, because that's how they derive a sense of self-worth.
This is sort of surprising in some ways, because looking at the millennial generation, I would have said there's so much more accepting of what previous generations would have called social transgressions. They're accepting of alternative lifestyles. I'm just surprised that perfectionism would be worse than it was in periods of much greater conformity, you know, like the 1950s.
The big difference between then and now is that in the 1950s, there were still expectations of perfection. And we can think about the perfect housewife and all that emphasis on doing the right thing. But I think the difference today is that those ideals at some level were understood as things that we should look up to, but aren't necessarily obtainable. Whereas today, what I see anyway in my students is this idea that perfect lifestyle, I can have this if I just try hard enough, if I just strive hard enough. I think it's this idea that these things are obtainable is problematic, because of course, when they're not, that's when the psychological problems start to occur.
Well, yeah, because then if you can't meet those expectations, you feel like you're a bad person.
Exactly. Guilt is very strongly associated with perfectionism. This idea that when we transgress, when we've done something wrong, or when we haven't lived up to perhaps other people's expectations, we feel bad about the act. And we feel like we have to put it right. And so we ruminate, we brood, we overgeneralize that transgression or act of wrongness to a defective self. And that's where things like shame start to come in. Because shame's a bit like guilt, but instead of ruminating about a certain act, it's ruminating about how we're flawed as a person.
So shame is like one step up from guilt?
Yeah, I mean, shame is more debilitating than guilt, because guilt can have restorative properties, right? It can actually be a good thing to feel guilty, because we've done something wrong, we recognize we've done something wrong, and so guilt motivates us to put it right. Shame is really placing the blame squarely at the feet of ourselves. We have a defective self. And so shame and guilt, but shame in particular, is very commonly invoked by perfectionists. They feel a lot of shame all the time.
So what I hear you saying is that somehow we have managed to create a society almost perfectly calibrated to create high levels of perfectionism, which is then leading to an epidemic of feelings of guilt and, worse, shame. Is there something we need to do or change as a collective to break the cycle of perfectionism?
I think it's really interesting. In the work that we've done, we do imply that certain reforms that have occurred over the last 20 years are at least in some way to blame. Market-based reforms that basically took hold in the sort of mid to late 70s.
The doctrine of neoliberalism.
Neoliberalism, yeah. So this idea that the market is the only legitimate organizing principle of human activity, and you start to see marketized forms of competition embedded into social and civic institutions where they never used to be. So we see, as I say, we see standardized testing in schools, setting classifications, university league tables, you know, all these things never used to be here, but they are today, because these are forms of competition. This is the market. That puts pressure on young people, because now they're in a market-based society where every person for themselves. And what we're doing is we're forcing young people to focus on how they appear relative to others, how they perform.
Does that mean there's less perfectionism in the great social democracies, the Scandinavian countries?
What's really interesting is we don't have enough data from those countries, but the one region in our analysis from North America, Canada, and the UK, which demonstrated significantly lower levels of perfectionism, was Quebec. And Quebec has more of a social democracy, more of a European-style political apparatus. And so that's very telling, that there's something about that society that's providing some social resilience to what is an otherwise rising trend of perfectionism.
So we were talking about the 1950s, when there was so much culture of conformism, followed, of course, by the 1960s, a big pushback, a counterculture. Do you see anything like that emerging in the near future?
I think there is a lot of reason to be optimistic, actually. And actually, what's really interesting is young people are beginning to rise up and start to agitate to change what is a political and economic system that has failed them. And the popularity of Bernie Sanders in the US is a positive indication of young people becoming more activated and wanting to change what is a status quo. And even, you know, even the rise of Trump in the US, perhaps a silver cloud underneath all the negative things, and that's that people are reacting at an economic model that has been disastrous for vast swathes of people. So I do think there is a counterculture occurring, but I would also caution that we're probably going to see things get worse before they get better.